So today we're going to be looking at the book of Acts chapter 1. If you remember, about a month ago we were in Acts chapter 1, and this is the continuation of that same message moving into the next part of chapter 1. So we're going to be looking today primarily at Acts chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So you remember that when we look at the book of Acts, it's the second book that Luke wrote. Luke wrote his first book as the Gospel of Luke. And at the beginning of Acts, he summarizes the Gospel of Luke, saying, "In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And he begins to explain to them over a period of 40 days, he gave them convincing proofs that he actually was the Messiah and that he resurrected from the dead. And you might remember that when we looked at that word study for convincing proofs, was that nobody could challenge it, nobody could question it. When these proofs were not something anybody could doubt, they were just simply proof. Nobody could question it, that Jesus proved to them over a course of 40 days that he was the Messiah. And he, during those 40 days, Luke also tells us he was speaking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. So speaking to them of the things of the kingdom of God over the 40 days. So now we come down to here. After all that is done, the disciples come together and they begin asking him this question. And if we back up to verse 6, he said, they all come together. They were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" Now, you might fall on the side. I've noticed that there's a lot of disagreement over this statement and this question from a lot of theologians and commentators. Some believe that the disciples were completely way off base. Some believe that they had a right to ask it and that we're being too hard on them by saying they shouldn't ask it. And I'm trying to work through this and trying to understand exactly from their perspective. And the first thing I'm going to suggest to you today is that I am a win person. I don't know if anybody else here is a win person, but let me identify what a win person is. I like to know when. I like to have the question when answered. If something is happening, I want to know when it is happening. If I'm supposed to be somewhere, I want to know when I'm supposed to be there. I also would like to know when am I supposed to leave. How long am I supposed to stay? Miranda learned this about me early on because we are kind of different with this, and I'll take a poll here to see where you stand with this, I am so structured in my thinking, I kind of plan everything out, and that's very difficult, as you know, when you're serving God, of course. It's very difficult to plan anything out, but I like to stick with what I have scheduled. And I'm not somebody that likes a wrench. When a wrench is thrown in, it throws me completely off. I'm not sure what to do, and I start to scramble. Now, I've improved over the years with this, but I used to be very bad at this, to the point that we would pull into a driveway somewhere when we were first married, and I would ask Miranda, "How long are we staying? Like, when are we leaving?" And she would say, "Oh, a couple hours." Set the clock. A couple hours are up. I'm in the car ready to go. She's still inside chatting. That's when she learned to stop answering that question. So she stopped answering it. "Well, we'll just see how it goes." No! I don't do things like that, right? See, some just go ahead and they fly by the seat of their pants and it's no big deal and they roll with the punches. Others are like me with the when, they have to know when and they have to have it structured. So I want to ask you today, which side are you on? Are you a when person? Are there anybody else out there like me? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, good, good, good. I'm not alone. Okay, the opposite. You just roll with it. It doesn't matter. Seat of the pants. Oh, boy, yeah. Man, you know how many of you raised your hands in on the one and then the second question, the person beside you raised their hand? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, the whole win idea. I always like to be sure. I can see why the disciples would like to know this, because they just came off 40 days of Jesus giving them convincing proofs that he is the Messiah and speaking to them about the kingdom of God, that now they're saying, okay, Jesus, is it now? Are you going to do it now? Amazing thing about the question they're asking when they say this, they said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The amazing thing about this is the tense that it's in the imperfect tense, which means, brace yourself, they didn't just ask this once. It was multiple. In fact, it probably, if you look at the imperfect tense and understand it, it probably gets into that nagging stage. I've never really seen the disciples nagging Jesus before, but I can see what's happening is the disciples saying, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen now? Hey, Jesus, is it going to happen now? Hey, Jesus, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen now, Jesus? We want to know, is it going to happen now? That was all that was on their mind, was when. And all that they were concerned about was, is it going to take place now? And now we have a whole history here that we don't have time to get into about the whole history of Israel and the whole history of the restoration and what they were expecting versus what God was doing. And there's truth in both of it, where we have the physical side and we have the spiritual side, and we can't nullify one of them for the other. And we understand that. But we don't have time to get into all of that in this message. But the primary thing that they were after, that they just wanted to know, is it going to take place now? And Jesus, this is so important to us. We cannot stop speaking about this until we can't stop saying this. We're going to be repeating this question over and over and over and over and over again. Now, I don't know this for sure, but part of me wonders, I just wonder if, and this happened before with Jesus, so maybe it did happen at this time, I wonder if Jesus got to that enough stage. You ever got that enough stage? You ever, all parents out there, you ever had that kid that just wouldn't stop asking that same question that you answered already? And they didn't like the fact that you said no? So they ask it in every possible way they can because they want to get a different answer? Man, there's a lot of blaming going on down here in the front row. I can clear that up for them very easily, but I won't do it right now. But no, you're asking in every possible way, every manner, every angle to try to get a different answer until the parent gets to the point. Patience, right? Everybody only has so much of it, where you get to that point where it turns into almost a, enough! I said no, and no is no. I can almost see, again, I can't prove it, but I can almost see Jesus getting to that enough stage with the disciples. Stop asking, okay? Stop asking. Which leads us to his response. So the response that he gives us, he said to them in verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So we'll stop right there for a moment, because when he's talking about times and epochs, it's very interesting because one term refers to the idea of a season of time. Another one refers to specific point in time. So whether it's the season or specific point based on an event, Jesus is saying, it is not for you to know. Now this was used before, when we go back into the Old Testament. And I want you to look at these Old Testament passages. We look, go back to Deuteronomy. We will see, or I'm sorry, did I say Deuteronomy? Daniel. That's what the slides are there for, to tell me what I'm supposed to say. So Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 through 21, this is where Daniel is interpreting a dream, and this is the beginning of his interpretation. He says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. Same terms. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. The second one, I'm sure you're aware of, even if it's not coming to your mind right now, it's very popular. If we put the next one up, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is an appointed time for everything. Your translation might say season. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. So you see the connection of event, time, and then you have the time for the region and the time for event. That's everything that's taking place there. Why is that connecting? That's connecting because this is something that they have been taught, they have understood throughout generations, that this whole issue of time, whether it's an event or whether it's a season, is all up to one person. In fact, and this is when you really get into it because it's hard for our minds to go there, it's hard for us to understand that God existed and then there was time. It happens a lot down with Ask Pastor Chad. You've heard the Ask Pastor Chad questions, and it was several months ago, we had the one where we had some visitors here from the AHG group, and the one little girl just kept asking questions because she thought, ask Pastor Chad, let's just ask questions. She started asking every question imaginable, even when I was trying to answer this one. I said, well, let's save that one for next time, right? So I didn't have to deal with that. But that's always a question that comes up, and I used to ask it too when I was a kid, was, well, where did God come from? Well, where did God start? Because everybody starts. Well, he has always been, he always is, and he always will be. Well, now wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Everybody has a starting and an ending. No, not with God. God's different, which tells us God's above this thing that we call time. I think it's amazing about the high idea of time, about how often we have thought, and there are cultures that are different when it comes to time. Some cultures aren't too pressured for time as our culture is, and they're more relaxed, yes, but everybody, every culture in some way, shape, or form follows some type of time. You can take all the clocks away. We will naturally follow some type of schedule, some type of time. We can't even comprehend life without time. And the main thing here isn't whether or not did the disciples have a right to ask the question. As I said, Jesus has already been talking to them 40 days about the kingdom of God. Seems to me like they would have a right. I would ask the question, is it going to be now? Yes, they had a right to ask it, but then what does Jesus say? He says, no, you guys are missing it. That's not what I want you to understand. There's something much bigger going on here than what you realize. And it's not just answered by the simple when question. Because God is completely over time. So Jesus says, it is not for you to know. If we go back to that, he said, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And I want us to stay with that statement just for a moment as we talk about times and epochs, everything, that's something that I think all of us can learn from today. I don't care who you are, where you're at, what your background is, what you've studied, who you think you are, it doesn't matter. All of us can learn something from that concept today, that it is not for you to know the times or epochs the Father has set by his own authority. That somebody else is in charge of this. Because how many times have we done something similar to what the disciples are doing here? Because I think we forget about how long they've been waiting. They've been waiting a very long time for the restoration of Israel. Just to give you a little bit of understanding, even just the intertestamental period alone was 400 years. It's a long time. Would you agree? To wait for something for 400 years? Yeah. It's a long time. I always used to joke about how a bishop or district superintendent could call a possible candidate, a pastor, and say, hey, I got a great opportunity for you. There's a church down the road that is open that I think you would be a great fit for. And say, sounds good. Let me go check it out. I said, well, there's only one thing. God hasn't moved in 400 years. Okay, sign me up. No, you wouldn't want to take that, right? That's how long they've been waiting. In other words, they were waiting such a long time for this restoration that, as you know, they got off course during those 400 years. So many things took them off course where they were not completely following what God had said, and they had their own interpretation, the human interpretations added to it because God wasn't really involved anymore. It was the whole intertestamental period, 400 years. And coming out of this, asking the question of when and saying, is it going to happen now? And you begin to think about that in my own life. How many times, God, I know you promised this. When? Ever been there? God, is it going to be now? When? Think about that for a moment. How often are we plagued by something like that? Whether it's something personal or whether it's something global, where we look overseas and we see the persecuted church and we see people starving. God, when are you going to do something? God, when's this going to happen? When is there going to be peace? When? And the answer is, as Jesus says, that's not for you to know. And he gives them an interesting directive right after this, after he says, it's not your business. That's a Chad translation. It's none of your business. He says, that's none of your business. When? Get that out of your mind. We're not talking about when. But this is what's going to happen. It is not for you to know the times or epochs he has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of that famous story many of us heard probably in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, the first time, is the feeding of the 5,000. Remember the feeding of the 5,000? Feeding of the 5,000 was so interesting because the disciples are there. They're there with Jesus, and there's 5,000 men plus women and children, and the disciples come over to Jesus, and they say, hey, Jesus, could you send the crowd away? Because I'm sure they want to go get something to eat. When we all know the disciples themselves were saying, and we'd like something as well. Jesus comes across as that person. You ever been around that one person that, like, forgets there are meals? Anybody ever been around someone like that where like, okay, but you didn't say anything about eating. Like, I need to eat. Maybe you don't, but I need to. I've been around people like that where it doesn't even matter. They can go for hours, days. They don't even have to, where my whole clock is centered around it sometimes about what are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? So anyway, they're there, and Jesus looks at them. And remember what he said? You. Give them something to eat. Jesus, all we have are 5 small barley loaves. 2 small. You give them something. I see somewhat of a connection here, because here Jesus is, they're coming and they're saying, is it going to happen now? Is the restoration, is it going to take place now? And Jesus says, hey, we're not talking about that. That's not your business when that's going to take place. It is not for you to know the times or epochs that God has set by his own authority. That is not your concern, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. I wonder how many times we get distracted with the wins to God, that we forget about the fact that his whole plan from the beginning is to use you. From the beginning, that's what he's doing. That's why he created Adam and Eve. Why did he have creation in the first place? Why did God create Adam and Eve? What, I've had that question before too. Why in the world did he do that? If he knew this was going to be such a mess and everything and life was going to be horrific, why did he do that? Because God wanted to live his life through creation. That was the whole purpose. And before the fall of man, that's what we see. We see God living his life through the creation that he made. That was his desire. That was his goal. That was his purpose. That's what we're seeing coming back here. We're seeing this whole thing coming back to fruition of what needs to take place, that it's coming back to we are empty vessels that God desires to use. And too many times we get sidetracked, and we get sidetracked on, is it now? Is it when? We get sidetracked, or not even just that, we get sidetracked for many things, and we forget about the fact that his whole desire from the beginning was that he desired to use you. You will be my witnesses. I want you to just think about that for a moment, because I have been able to be distracted about many things in my life to the point that I forget about that. Many things have distracted me. There's so much that we can easily get, there's so much that can be used to easily take our eye off the ball, so to speak, so we can forget about actually what's supposed to take place. But you see the whole concept of how easy it can happen. You just, one news report and boom, I'm distracted because now all of a sudden, God, when are you going to fix that? One political issue, I'm distracted because, oh God, why did that candidate get in? And oh God, what about this? And God, what about that? And I become pulled in so many different directions and I forget the fact that God's whole purpose from the very beginning was to use. You see, that's what happened when we talk about Pentecost and everything. I mean, there's a lot of things about Pentecost, but specifically the whole idea is the Pentecost that he's talking about. He's foreshadowing it here, saying the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You will be my witnesses. And they were his witnesses. And what took place? They were just filled with the Holy Spirit to the point they didn't even know what they were doing. I mean, they just hit the streets and they're spreading the gospel and they're telling everybody about Jesus. And before they knew it, they were speaking in other languages so that people could understand, and they didn't even realize it. They opened their mouth, another language came out. Why? Because that's why we're here. That's our purpose. There might be some truth to the fact that maybe the disciples were, as some have suggested, that maybe the disciples were asking this out of in selfish ways, that they were being selfish, saying, okay, are we going to get ours now? Jesus, are we going to get it now? You know we've been oppressed, right? You know we've been persecuted. You know things are, is it going to happen now? And Jesus says, no, that we're not talking about that, but this is what I'm talking about as I desire to use you. So, question. Is there anything at all that's distracting you from that truth today? Anything in your mind, anything at all that's distracting you from the fact that you have a purpose that God desires to actually live his life through you to touch the lives around you? Because we can so easily be distracted to the point we forget what all of this is truly about. Heard a story a number of years ago, and I remember there was a gentleman who was a Christian, and he was a janitor or landscaper, custodial work at a public park. And he just loved life, and he just loved Jesus, and he did everything he could just to share Christ. And he'd have a push broom that he would push along the picnic pavilions while people would be sitting there. And while he was doing it, he got into this habit that he would just simply whistle while he was doing it. Anybody here know how to whistle? Yeah. Anybody good at whistling? Because I've heard some really good ones out there. They can really whistle. So apparently this guy was pretty decent, at least, because he had no idea, but there was a gentleman who was coming there almost every week just for the fact that the one time he was there, he was feeling down, he didn't know what to do, and he just saw this guy coming by, and he was just whistling as he was sweeping. And so he came by the next week, and he came the next week, and he came the next week, and finally he had to go over and thank the gentleman. He said, "I just want to thank you." And he said, "Thank me for what?" He said, "For the difference you've made in my life." "I didn't even know I made it. What are you talking about? I'm just doing my job." "Just because of the fact you were whistling while you were sweeping impacted my life and changed." You see, the idea of being willing to be used by God, we can be used in so many different ways that we aren't even aware of. He can take us to that place where we are beyond ourselves and we're touching the lives around us and we don't even realize it. But the main thing is this, the main challenge is that we shouldn't be distracted from the truth that that is why we're here and that is why we exist. Our purpose is to be used of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for everything that you mean to us. And we ask God today that you would help all of us to seek after you and to see you for who you are. But Lord, if we're here today and if we're distracted from what this is all about and if we're distracted from the truth, we pray today, God, you would show us what that distraction is. And you would show us what's that many times what we're concerned about, as you told the disciples, really is none of their business, none of our business. When the truth is, it's all about you and what you desire to do in and through us. And you desire to use each and every one of us. Show each of us what this means. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.